Hello, welcome to the second hour of the reading of the Arizona Republic for Sunday, November 24th, 2024. We begin the second hour by reading the obituaries. Today's list includes the following names: Ramona Estrada Austin, Catherine Burgos, known as Kathy, Helen Catherine Butler, Carl Craig Cummins, Jr., Teresa Jen Curran, known as Tess, Marilyn Despasquale, Peggy Eichen, Jacqueline Husing, Marilyn Kemp, Willa Elaine Key, Mitzi Knight, Helen I. Krupa, Paula Hayes Large, Sherry New, Beverly Pollock, Fern Marie Porter, Thomas Quijada, known as Tommy, David N. Romansky, Sanford Roth, Nancy Glenn Stimson, Joanne Taylor, Edward John Tompkins, Muriel Van Puck, known as Mickey, Nancy M. Evans Vaughn, Arlene Venturini. Sun Sounds of Arizona extends its condolences to the families and friends of these individuals listed in today's obituaries. Now we'll turn to the economy section of the paper. Well, it appears there are two articles today. The first one is entitled, New McDonald's Happy Meal Comes With Two Toys. This was written by Mike Snyder for the USA Today. For the holiday season, McDonald's has a new Happy Meal that lets kids share the happiness. Starting on Tuesday, an all-new Pet Simulator Happy Meal will be available at the fast food chain. Each meal comes with two Pet Simulator toys, one for your child, and a gift-wrapped toy they can give to a friend. Each of the 18 different toys comes with a figurine and stickers so that they can be customized. The toys are inspired by the Pet Simulator games available on the Roblox video game platform, and you can scan each toy's box with a smartphone or digital device to unlock a digital game experience, according to McDonald's. Jennifer J.J. Heelan, who is McDonald's Vice President of U.S. Marketing, Brand, Content, and Culture, wrote in a news release, quote, "We hope this special Happy Meal inspires kids to share during this season of giving. Sharing is such a big part of the McDonald's ethos. Whether it's sharing your fries, your McNuggets, or a McFlurry, and now we're giving our youngest fans the opportunity to do that with their Happy Meal, too. Whether they choose to give their extra toy to a family member, to make a friend smile, or to show kindness to a neighbor, it's all about helping kids feel the joy of giving this holiday season," unquote. Now, customers can also support the Ronald McDonald House Charities, celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, by rounding up the price of their purchase. McDonald's Pet Simulator Happy Meals are expected to be on the menu until December 16th nationwide at participating McDonald's locations while supplies last. And that was the article, New McDonald's Happy Meal Comes With Two Toys. Our next one is, Find Out Which Grocery Brand Deals Rank Best. This is by Mark H. Bickle for the Fort Myers News Press out of Fort Myers, Florida. Mark wrote this. In a new study from couponsforreal.com, the researchers analyzed prices for 225,317 items across 253 subcategories of meat, seafood, dairy, eggs, beverages, bakery, frozen, and produce in 173 supermarkets within 49 major U.S. cities. They created a list of 118 own-brand products and compared their prices across Aldi, Costco, Kroger, Target, and Walmart. The researchers collected grocery data price data from the Instacart.com for five popular grocery chains, Aldi, Costco, Kroger, Target, and Walmart, in the 49 most populated cities in the U.S., and these prices were true as of August 21st. The study produced three types of rankings: cost by chain, cost by store brand, cost by product. So according to the study, Walmart is the cheapest chain for own brand products of all the analyzed stores. Walmart's own label groceries are, on average, in the bottom 20% cheapest compared with Aldi, Costco, Target, and Kroger. For example, Walmart's own mozzarella costs 23 cents per ounce, compared with a median 38 cents per ounce elsewhere across the own branded ranges. Store label chicken is 17 cents per ounce versus an average 28 cents per ounce nationwide. Walmart branded flatbread is 18 cents per ounce compared with 31 cents per ounce median price tag. All three of the aforementioned products are cheapest at Walmart among all the studied chains and stores. Now, Aldi and Costco were ranked second and third. The top 10 items with the widest variety of store-labeled groceries are plain milk, there's 1,727 options, then cheese blends with 1,019 options, then cheddar, 924 options, mixed vegetables, then burgers and ground beef, then mozzarella, then shrimp and prawn, then fruit mixes, then chicken, and finally lactose-free milk with 643 different options. To get the cheapest plain milk, families should shop at Aldi, where they would pay half the median price compared with the other own-label brands. Cheese blends are cheapest to buy at Walmart, where prices are 24 cents per ounce compared with a median price of 38 cents an ounce. Aldi's cheapest, most popular own brand item is cheddar cheese. It is half the price, 21 cents an ounce, of other stores included in the study, which is 43 cents an ounce. Aldi's Happy Farms is the cheapest own brand line among a total of 24 evaluated labels. Happy Farms items cost a record low of 2.54% compared with the other own label brands. The next cheapest own label is Season's Choice. It belongs to Aldi, with the price tags in the lowest 7%. Now, Target's Good and Gather Organic is the most expensive grocery line of all the 24 analyzed supermarket brands. This is despite Kroger having the most expensive store-branded products, whose Simple Truth and Private Selection ranges ranked second and third most expensive. A spokesperson for couponsforreal.com said, quote, "Our study offers thrifty families and individuals a very practical way to cut their grocery cost by splitting their shopping list across various stores. Of course, prices and deals vary widely, but knowing which store-owned labels are generally the cheapest can significantly cut a family's monthly grocery budget," unquote. And that was the article, "Find Out Which Grocery Brand Deals Rank Best." Well, we're at 9 minutes past the hour. We've read the two articles in the economy section. I guess we ought to move on over and see what's on the front page of the sports section. Well, it looks like the front page of the sports section is all about the big rivalry between ASU and U of A, the Territorial Cup. This article is written by Michelle Gardner. ASU's Borgay eager for his final U of A game. Michelle is a columnist for the Arizona Republic. "There is no player on the Arizona State football roster more versed in the importance of the Territorial Cup than Trenton Borgay. The veteran Sun Devils quarterback is one of just three players on the roster who have been with the program since 2019. The others are linebacker Caleb McCullough and injured defensive lineman Anthony Cooper. But Borgay's knowledge of the nation's longest trophy rivalry game goes back further than that. First, his parents, Toby and Vanessa, are ASU graduates, but the family hails from Tucson. So as a youngster, Borgé was at the rivalry game almost every year, even traveling up to Tempe when it was held there. Since he is from Tucson, he admits the Wildcats were always his rooting interest. He chuckles about that now that he's on the other side. Borgé said as a starter for ASU last year, but a backup to freshman phenom Sam Levitt this season, quote, "It's a big deal. That's the one you always looked forward to. You could lose every game, but that's the one you had to win, or you were going to hear about it," unquote. Well, the teams will meet again on Saturday in Tucson for each school's regular season finale. Borgé admits the 70-7 win by ASU back in 2020 was perhaps his favorite Territorial Cup game as a player. He was a backup to another freshman and the eventual first-round draft pick, Jaden Daniels. The Sun Devils had the game well in hand, so Borgé got some playing time in the fourth quarter. Quote, "Obviously, to win like that against your rival, you never forget that one. But it was just a weird feeling not having anyone in the stadium," unquote. But that was a reference to the COVID season. It took away from the overall feel. He went on and said, quote, "It wasn't the same as having a packed crowd and winning it," unquote. And the next season, ASU defeated Arizona 38-15 to retain the cup. Borgé's favorite play in a Territorial Cup game came in that contest courtesy of Jack Jones, who returned an interception 87 yards for a touchdown in the fourth quarter that capped the scoring. Well, the past two meetings have been won by Arizona, so Borgé is hoping ASU can get the cup back before he departs. He has an interest in coaching and said that even though he isn't the starting quarterback, he is doing all he can to soak up knowledge from those around him. He's thinking about looking into graduate assistant options, possibly even at ASU. As for how he ended up at ASU, Trenton credits his younger brother, Trayson, who is now a backup quarterback at, of all places, BYU. That's the school the Sun Devils just played. Trayson came up to Tempe for a freshman day when he was in high school, and he was talking to the coaching staff that was then headed by Herm Edwards. The coaching staff thought Trenton, then a high school senior, was already going to Arizona, which wasn't the case because of a coaching change there. When they learned that Trenton was not committed anywhere, they jumped on him, getting him to come as a walk-in, although he was given a scholarship the next year. He laughed and said, "I owe it all to Trayson. You never know how things are going to work out. I may not have played as many games here as I would have liked, but I wouldn't change anything about my time here." And that was Michelle Gardner's article entitled ASU's Borgé, Eager for His Final U of A Game. Now there's another article about the Territorial Cup and the U of A and ASU rivalry. This one was written by Greg Moore, also from the front page of the sports section. And this one is entitled, Tyson Tries to Match McMillan's Greatness. Here is what Mark wrote. "You're either a Wildcat or a Sun Devil, baby, especially around Thanksgiving. The University of Arizona and Arizona State University have matched up 97 times since November 30th of 1899. 51 wins for the U of A and 45 for ASU and one draw. If you're new around here, it's always ugly. This year promises more of the same. Just be thankful you aren't on the field. The Wildcats are clawing to salvage a disappointing year and send perhaps the greatest pro prospect in school history, Tetaroa McMillan, out with a roar. The Sun Devils, meanwhile, they want to pitch a fork in their rivals and punctuate a hell of a season by introducing the college football world to their budding star, Jordan Tyson." Arizona State play-by-play announcer Tim Healy said, quote, "Tetaroa McMillan is the best receiver in the country, bar none. That's kind of a no-brainer, I think. He's incredibly gifted. He'll be a very high draft pick in the NFL. And Jordan Tyson has really come on this year. Through his own hard work and great coaching from Hines Ward, he has emerged into one of the best receivers in the Big 12. In the last four or five games, he has just been stellar, unquote. McMillan has been projected to be the number three pick in the NFL draft by USA Today Sports. U of A has never had a player go higher than Ricky Hundley, who was taken seventh back in 1984. Wildcats coach Brent Brennan has had the best view of a 1,000-yard season from a guy whose career has had more highlights than an old textbook. The coach Brennan said, quote, to me, he's a totally unique in that he combines 6'4.5" or 6'5" and a 212 or 214-pound body with moves like a smaller guy. His ability to change direction, to sink, accelerate, transition, break, and then you combine that with his big frame and his catch radius, he is really, really special. Unquote. Well, totally unique does mean something coming from Coach Brennan. He's coached a dozen pros at that position over the course of his career, including the 2013 Biletnikoff Award winner, Brandon Cooks. McMillan announced his presence last year with 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. If he had been eligible for the draft, it would have been hard to say whether he or Marvin Harrison Jr. should have been the first receiver taken. T-Mac's attack was the whopper in a 10-win season that helped Jed Fish net a huge raise and a new job at Washington. Now, this year hasn't gone so well after the coaching staff's deflection, but McMillan has hardly slowed down, despite opponents putting 10, 11, or 12 defenders on him at every snap. Well, okay, that's an exaggeration, but not much. U of A's rushing offense ranks 111th out of 133 schools in college football's highest division. But despite all of the attention, McMillan's teammates love him. He's not one of those look-at-me types that makes old-school fans pine for the days of wishbones and eye formations and wing tees. Brennan said, quote, sometimes the people that are more talented or just kind of better than everybody else, they kind of rest on that, and they don't continue to attack the development or attack the process of improvement. But he is nothing like that. When the rest of the team sees somebody who has much attention as them, as T-Mac gets working hard, it inspires, unquote. And while it's hard to imagine U of A's McMillan getting much better, it's even harder to imagine that ASU's Jordan Tyson is just getting started. Tyson played as a freshman on a one-win Colorado team that was so bad I can't exaggerate it. Colorado U allowed 40 or more points 10 times, including the last three games of the season, during which they gave up a combined 172 points. And the offense was just as hapless, despite Tyson's best interests and efforts. The poor kid put up 115 yards on 5 catches in a loss to the Sun Devils that year. It included a 58-yard touchdown catch. He also had an 88-yard punt return for a score. The next week, he had an 81-yard touchdown catch against Oregon. And then, perhaps mercifully, he blew out a knee, giving him plenty of time to consider his future. Tyson said, the biggest thing I've been working on right now is just being closer to God and giving him all the glory for all the things going on in my life. It's helped me grow as a man, helped me fight through adversity, helped me come back from situations and do things I've never done before. Man, God is so amazing, unquote. Well, Tyson is healthy. He's been hitting defenses harder and harder, including smacking Kansas State for 176 yards and 2 touchdowns in a road win that finally pushed the Sun Devils into the top 25. Tyson said, it's important. It's amazing. Coming from a Colorado team that was 1-11, where we were playing no important games, to now, where we play back-to-back important games, it's amazing. It might be reasonable to assume that U of A and ASU would be keeping tabs on each other's star receivers. But there's nothing reasonable about college football rivalries. Brennan, the U of A coach, said, quote, "I'm just so locked into what we're working on here and what we're trying to get done here. I don't see that stuff unless it's someone that we're playing that week." Tyson hasn't been paying attention to McMillan either. He said, nope. Then he took a long pause and then he elaborated and said, nope. Well, it's fine. It's a team game after all. And the game is bigger than a couple of players, even if one of them looks like a 6'5" Spider-Man in cleats. U of A's team goal is to screw things up for ASU. That's a familiar role for anybody who's been around in this rivalry long enough. Healy, the voice of the Sun Devils, said, quote, "I think the game's a heck of a lot more than just the wide receiver matchup," unquote. Arizona came into the season ranked in the AP Top 25. The Wildcats had a quarterback, Noah Fifita, who could move around and zip pinpoint passes on the run, and they had a chip on their shoulder after Fish left Tucson for Seattle. They started off winning three of their first four games, and then they lost eight of their nine lives of bowl eligibility in a month-long losing streak where they struggled to score or to stop anybody. Now they just want to finish strongly. Brennan said, quote, "It's critical. It's critical because all of the young men who are playing football here at the U of A, they've stayed together. A lot of them chose to stay in the transition of the offseason. They care so much about each other and about the University of Arizona that they want to finish it the right way," unquote. And that means tapping into a legacy of putting their whole season on the Territorial Cup. It's happened plenty of times. Healy said, "I can think of three examples right off the top of my head. In 1982 and 1985, ASU would have gone to the Rose Bowl if they beat Arizona, but they lost both times. In Tucson in 1982 and in Tempe in 1985 on a last-second field goal. And then in 1986, ASU was headed to the Rose Bowl, but they go to Tucson for the final game of the year undefeated. And then Arizona hands them their only loss of the year," unquote. Those are the kinds of wins that make rivalry games that much more special. They also calm down the unrealistic fan bases who want every success possible immediately, as if college football is played on TikTok or Instagram reels. But the U of A players, they know the stakes. Coach Brennan said, quote, "To me, the challenge of sustaining winning is the consistency of going to bowl games every year and having a chance to play in the postseason and getting the extra practice. That's what the best teams in college football do, and we want to be one of those teams, getting a chance to play in the postseason every year and getting involved in all those fun things," unquote. Well, it could start with a win over their rivals, but ASU is getting ready for a fight. Coach Kenny Dillingham, who's trying to cap the best turnaround story in college sports with his first Territorial Cup win, has been using this game for motivation. His squad was picked to finish last in the Big 12. All season long, they have been right near the top. In a team meeting, Dillingham showed a video of all the pundits and analysts and loudmouths talking about U of A like they were the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame or the 85 Bears, or at least a team that was going to cakewalk to a Big 12 title. Well, the ASU players were having none of it. Tyson said, quote, "We were just like, turn it off, we don't want to hear that." Well, Dillingham just let it run. He told the team, "Look at everybody now," making the point that all the naysayers were switching sides faster than a guy playing himself in ping pong. "Where were they at before?" Dillingham asked. For whatever it's worth, I was one of those doubters. It comes with the territory, if you've been around ASU football long enough. But I don't doubt anymore, not after what I've seen this year. But in the Territorial Cup, there is an important caveat. like a warning or a stipulation or some fine print that goes with my acknowledgement. Nothing matters but the final score. Not the preseason projections, not the recent trends, not the star players, not the coaches, not the location of the game, not what the Vegas odds say, not what I say, nothing. Not one single thing matters more than the game itself. And this year is one of those special years where I can't wait to see what happens. Just be thankful you aren't on the field around Thanksgiving. This game is always ugly, and this year promises more of the same. And that was Greg Moore's call article entitled Tyson Tries to Match McMillan's Greatness. Well, turning to the interior of the sports section, here's an article about basketball. Suns hope Durant and Beal return for Lakers game. It was written by Dwayne Rankin for the Arizona Republic. The Phoenix Suns are in a desperate need of a victory as they continue their six-game homestand Tuesday against the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA Cup West Group B play. The Suns have lost their past five games and six of their past seven. They have been without Kevin Durant since 1-6 stretch, and they haven't had Bradley Beal since their last win on November 12th at Utah. Both Durant and Beal are out with left calf strains. Durant leads the team in scoring at 27.6 points a game, while Beal is Phoenix's third leading scorer at 17.8 points per game. So with 5 days between Wednesday's loss to the New York Knicks and Tuesday's NBA Cup showdown, Phoenix hopes to have Durant and Beal back for their matchup against the Lakers. The Suns are 9-7, and that's their record so far this year, and they're 1-1 against the Lakers this season, with each team winning on its home floor. TNT is televising Tuesday's 8 p.m. matchup game. Phoenix is also 1-1 in NBA Cup group play, with the win coming against the Jazz and the loss at Oklahoma City, where it scored a season-low 83 points. But the Suns continue their season-long six-game homestand in the second of a back-to-back Wednesday against Brooklyn and Cam Johnson, who started his career with the Suns back in 2019. And then they face West leader Golden State on November 30th and battle San Antonio on December 3rd, and they conclude the homestand on December 5th against New Orleans. The Suns have yet to face the final three teams on their homestand. San Antonio has former Suns point guard Chris Paul, who along with Devin Booker led Phoenix to the 2021 NBA Finals. Now the Suns started this season 8-1, but they've been dealt a series of injuries. And combined that with playing 7 games in 11 days, Phoenix has been a bit weary through this tough stretch. And that was Dwayne Rankin's article entitled Suns Hope Durant and Beal Return for Lakers Game. Our next article is about Arizona high school football. It was written by Richard Obert. It's entitled Drama, Big Plays, Highlight Quarterfinal Action. With the Open Division and the 6A Division and the 5A Division and the 4A Division playing their quarterfinals on Friday night, there was drama and big plays and high stakes and a chance to practice on Thanksgiving Day. And that's what every high school football team in Arizona envisions back in August during those hot, grinding practices. So let's look back at what happened Friday and take a look ahead as the teams march ahead to the state semifinals. What we did learn was that the 6A division dominates. It wasn't quite the mockery that some expected with four of the 5A teams that were put into the open division playoffs. But it was obvious that the seedings were skewed, with number 8th-ranked Chandler Hamilton toppling number 1-ranked Marana 31-22 on the road. Number 6th-ranked Scottsdale Desert Mountain of the 5A division held its own in a 20-14 loss to number 3-ranked ALA Queen Creek in the 6A division. And number 2-ranked Chandler Basha of the 6A division blew out number 7th-ranked Horizon of the 5A division 36-0. Marana was a great 5A team, but they were not the number one seed in the Open. Hamilton losing as the final seed would have felt like a huge upset, but that didn't happen, despite trailing for much of the game. And emerging out of this was a freshman wide receiver that the state is going to be hearing a lot about in the coming years. Roy Oliver III caught Rich Lucero Jr.'s 15-yard touchdown pass with 10 minutes left to give the Huskies that 31-22 lead that would hold up after the defense finally did enough to hold off the electrifying Roebuck brothers, Desmond Roebuck and Sean Roebuck, and the under-the-radar junior quarterback, Colton Meyer, who put up more than 300 passing yards. Running back Jacob Brown had a hand in Hamilton's victory. Coach Travis Dixon said, "It's all because the big guys up front were moving bodies." Still, the season that Marana put together, making its first Open, and the job that Coach Philip Stewart did, it's worth note-taking. Of all the 5A schools, they wanted the Open the most, looking at it as the biggest reward in Marana history. In the other 6A versus 5A Open quarterfinal game, it took a half for Peoria Liberty to assert itself as perhaps the favorite to repeat as the Open champions. Carrying that number 4 seed like a chip on their shoulders, the Lions struck quickly and fiercely during a 35-0 third quarter, breaking open a tight game on their way to a 64-26 rout of Higley. That's a 5A team that could have made a third straight run for a 5A title had it not beaten Desert Mountain late in the season to make the Open. Gunnar Fagrell was tremendous in the first half when he was getting the ball out quickly to receivers and using his legs to extend a 26-yard scoring pass to Gatling Drake Walton to cut it to 22-19. But Liberty's massive size and experience and the bounce back in senior quarterback Hayden Fletcher with his 4 third-quarter touchdown passes showed how much this Lions team wants to get back to the state championship game and make it 2 in a row. And that defense, wow. It was constantly in Fagrell's face, giving him little time to fire off passes. Even if Fletcher is having an off half, the Lions can pound the ball with 3 or 4 running backs taking turns tearing off big gains behind that experienced line. And that just opens it up for Fletcher, who was at his best this season in that explosive third quarter. And that was Richard Oberd's article, Drama, Big Plays, Highlight Quarterfinal Action. We're at 33 minutes past the hour. Time for us to move on over to the viewpoint section and read some opinion pieces. Our first opinion piece is written by Phil Boas for the Arizona Republic. And it's entitled, Democrats Will Regret Their Social Media Retreat. Here's what he wrote. Denial is a river you can watch in real time. At the moment, it flows from the social platform X, formerly known as Twitter, to the social platform Blue Sky, otherwise known as Utopia. In one sanctimonious declaration after another, Democrats are registering their disgust for the people they blame most for losing the 2024 presidential election, the American people. From the Democrats' point of view, the 2024 presidential election was a test of character, and Americans came up wanting. They elected a fascist. So, Democrats are making their exodus from Platform X, whose owner they despise, and whose users they deplore. Elon Musk is not merely the richest man in the world and the guy who bought Twitter. He is now a member of the Republican Team Unity that is returning Donald Trump to the White House. Democrats won't tolerate heresy like that, so there must be separation from the rabble, from the larger swath of America that voted one more time for Trump. The Democrats will take their moral certitude to a social media domain more serene and high-minded, more controlled, a veritable heaven on earth. Blue sky is the domain for good people, well-bred and mannered people, people of distinction with master's degrees on their mantles and no gluten in their diets. And then in their warm blue bath they can chatter on about the climate crisis and the halcyon Obama years and never feel reality poke at them, which at the moment it does, quite sharply. Their world has flipped. They used to be the people who had it together, who were hip to brown and black people and their cultures and needs. And now, Latino voters are moving in droves to the Republican Party. And more black men are wearing red. Black and white NFL players are doing the Trump victory dance in the end zone. And a black mixed martial arts champion just did the MAGA jag before handing his championship belt to Trump. Not only have Democrats been rejected, they've been rejected by the demography they once believed would deliver them an indestructible new majority. The bubble has burst. So what now? They move in a huff to a new bubble, blue sky. Was there ever a more perfect name for sustained delusion? If they could only stand back a little and see where they went wrong, they might start to lift themselves up, but they can't. Denial hardens the muscles just like rigor mortis. It's clear as day why the Democrats face-planted in 2024. They stopped being liberals. If there was an archetype for the American liberal, it was the one Steve Jobs created for the legendary Apple ad that played during the 1984 Super Bowl. She is a woman dressed in hot orange athletic shorts and shoes who sprints down the center of a seated throng of gray people with closed minds. She is running toward a jumbotron where Big Brother drones on about, quote, the anniversary of information purification, a garden of pure ideology, unquote. And as she nears the big screen, she stops and wheels and hurls her sledgehammer at the jumbotron, blowing it up and jerking open the eyes and jaws of every automaton in attendance. That was American liberalism busting through barriers, rescuing free speech from the censors and our lives from the control freaks. It reflected perfectly how the American left viewed the birth of the Internet as the tool that would flatten the hierarchies, democratize information, and give voice to the people who don't own million-dollar printing presses or TV studios. Now anyone can self-publish without much cost, giving rise to new voices and perspectives that had never been heard before. But something changed on the way to the revolution. This marvel the left had birthed, the personal computer, made them rich. And with wealth came power, and with power came control. And now they tighten their grip on the power centers, the White House, the federal bureaucracy, the universities, the corporate boardroom, the arts and entertainment. Pretty soon, free speech was no longer the bedrock of liberty, but a challenge to them, the establishment. Long-time fighting liberals like John Kerry were soon questioning constitutional freedoms, as in, our First Amendment stands as a major block. Block to what? The hammer out of existence disinformation. Show me the controlling authority that decides what is disinformation, and I'll show the authoritarian on the 1984 Jumbotron. Speech is so fundamental to freedom that to control it is to attack our very independence, wrote Antonio Garcia Martinez, a tech executive and author of the New York Times bestseller, Chaos Monkeys. Quote, America wasn't built on content moderation guidelines and problematic this and that. It was built on the inalienable right of every citizen to tell their government, as well as any fellow citizen, to go F themselves and read and write and do whatever they like, unquote. The liberals used to talk this way. Not anymore. They created a therapeutic society of safe spaces and forbidden words, their own garden of pure ideology called wokeness, that tried to police free expression and rub out opposing voices. And the American people put a stake through all of that on November 5th. It's over. And now you Democrats have a choice. You can retreat to your blue sky and bubble wrap, or you can return to your own first principles, to those heady times when you were the lions of free speech. It's time to be liberal again. And that's Phil Boas, an editorial columnist for the Arizona Republic, who wrote, "Democrats will regret their social media retreat." Okay, let's read some letters to the editors. Those are opinion pieces written by people like you and me. I'm writing to you about a dire situation that has fallen upon education within Arizona, the teacher shortage. Even my school, which is one of the best schools in the state, has not been safe from it. The career of teaching becomes more and more undesirable, even for the most passionate of educators. At my high school, teachers are made to teach for all 6 class periods this year. Before, they were given at least 1 class period for preparation and grading. How is someone supposed to work in these conditions without bringing their work life home? Some teachers may be passionate enough to do that, but many teachers cannot afford to. Many of the greatest teachers I have met have left due to these new policies and for lack of pay and appreciation. While my school district is a little better than other districts when it comes to teacher pay, it is still not enough compensation for raising the next generation. I feel that all the work that we have put toward improving our education system will come crashing down in a few years due to this shortage. Signed, Cyrus Faisal from Chandler. Our next letter goes, "Doesn't a yellow light at an intersection mean slow down and prepare to stop?" A yellow light means slow down, not speed up to get through the intersection. We all have noticed the exponential increase in people running a red light, especially large trucks and fast sports cars, related to fewer traffic police officers able to enforce the law of not going into or through an intersection when the light is red. The proposal of using red light cameras is a great start. In Minnesota, at many such intersections, there is a warning light located on the road at an appropriate distance before the intersection. It alerts the driver that the green will soon change to yellow and that at a legal speed you will not be able to enter the intersection before the light turns red. These warning lights are often used when the legal speed on that road is 45 miles per hour or greater. Now, such intersections are common in the Phoenix metro area, and the adoption of these warning lights would save lives and prevent many accidents. Can we consider these as well? I urge our law enforcement officials to consider strongly these suggestions and to enforce them in every case. Signed, Michael Saar from Cave Creek. Our next letter goes, "An Arizona Department of Child Safety caseworker was nearly killed in attack by the father of a child. There were no security personnel to help the caseworker due to cost-cutting, according to the agency. The response of the agency to the incident is laughable. Quote, the department is committed to keeping our staff safe as they carry out this essential work, and we are conducting a comprehensive review of this incident in an effort to prevent it from happening again. Unquote. Please dispense with the meaningless and gratuitous scripted responses. It is quite clear that the agency is more committed to pinching pennies than preventing the risk to personnel working in a dangerous environment." Signed, Warren Kotzman from Gilbert. Our next letter goes, "We had to go into Banner University Medical Center, Phoenix, very early one morning. Often, people going to the hospital have a problem and feel stress. Every person there, from check-in throughout, was so nice. Of course, there are a few minutes to wait, but everything was handled so nicely. Our thanks to the staff, the doctors, the nurses, and even the coffee shop for their help and kindness." Signed, John and Bobby Bookout from Tempe. Our next letter goes, "It's a bad idea for President-elect Donald Trump to be plucking Republican representatives out of the House to fill cabinet positions. We have a very thin majority in the House. All it takes is for a weak Republican to become an independent or one from a blue state to die and be replaced by their Democrat governor. Or in the case of a special election, the local Republican Party runs a weak or corrupt candidate like George Santos, who was later forced to resign. It would be smart to leave the strong conservatives in the House to maintain that small conservative cushion. That's especially true for positions like UN ambassador, which can be easily filled by a competent pro-America businessman. Signed, Ray Jasilla from Gilbert. Our next letter goes, Trump has vowed to kick out illegal aliens living in the U.S. My wife plays golf with a white friend from Canada who has lived here 15 years, owns a house, and drives a Cadillac. She technically is an illegal alien. Will she be targeted by Trump's SS and deported? Or will just brown and black people be forced to leave? Should she be worried? Signed, Jack Olive in Phoenix. We're coming up on 46 minutes past the hour, so we'll move on over to the entertainment section now. We will begin by reading today's horoscopes. If your birthday is between March 21st and April 19th, that means you were born under the sign of Aries. Here is your special horoscope for today. Are you feeling like you may short-circuit? Take care of your mental well-being. For Taurus, birth dates from April 20th to May 20th, put it on credit. Be discerning before pulling out cards today. You are ready to spend. For Geminis, birth dates from May 21st to June 21st, you say one thing, they hear it as something else. Are you encountering misunderstandings? Try not to obsess over it. For Cancer, June 22nd through July 22nd birth dates, you need 3 days to do everything you have to do in one. So make a list and get to work. For Leos, birth dates from July 23rd through August 22nd, an idea that you set out to realize may have a few holes. For you fellow Virgos out there, birth dates from August 23rd through September 22nd, is your home in disarray? Well, grab your cleaning supplies. For Libras, September 23rd through October 23rd birth dates, watch for getting whipped up in a mental frenzy. Your subconscious has the mic. For Scorpios, October 24th through November 21st birth dates, it takes strength to pursue a dream. Are you questioning your ability to manifest? Convince yourself you have what it takes. For Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st birth dates. Are you really going to say that? You may want to think before you speak. For Capricorns, December 22nd through January 19th birth dates. Your mind is hungry for a story. Grab a good book. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, you are so popular, you have a multitude of social engagements. And finally, Pisces, birth dates from February 19th to March 20th, a partnership may challenge you. Watch for being on a high horse. And those were today's horoscopes. We turn now to letters of advice written by Abigail Van Buren in her column, Dear Abby. The letter goes like this. Dear Abby, my wife and I are in our 80s, married for 61 years. We are financially well off and have few medical issues. As we approach our departure from this earth, we have created the necessary legal documents to distribute our assets. So, what's the problem? Well, my spouse is a collector. We have several wonderful china settings, sterling silver, beautiful linens. At one time, we set a beautiful table, but today, old age has caught up with us. Most of those invitees are gone, but my spouse and I are living like we did 50 years ago, and it's getting on my nerves. Nobody wants our stuff. It's time to divest ourselves of possessions that somebody else might have an interest in and get them off our hands. My spouse refuses to part with anything. There is always an excuse to keep the clutter. I saw this in my parents decades ago. If it came in the front door, it didn't go out again. Why are people so addicted to things? And what can be done to alleviate my anxiety. Signed, Ready to Let Go in San Francisco. And Abby responds, Dear Reddy, consider this. Every piece of china and crystal, every pattern of silverware, and all the accessories that people used to think were necessary to create a beautiful home and life have treasured memories attached. Where you see clutter, your wife sees the happy years spent acquiring it and entertaining. Because these items are no longer being used, they could be boxed up just in case they are needed again. Photograph them so you have a record of what they are, and discuss with your wife possibly donating them to a charity thrift store. While you are correct that young people today aren't as avid about formal entertaining as members of your generation were, there are still people around who recognize quality and value who might be interested in having some of it. And as to your anxiety, discuss this with your doctor. And if necessary, ask for a referral to a therapist for some counseling. Our next letter goes, Dear Abby, I have a wonderful, intelligent 19-year-old daughter. She's a junior in college in another city. She has always been extremely thin. We have taken her to doctors to address this. They discovered a vitamin deficiency and suggested that she eat more nutritious foods with vitamins prescribed. My question is it okay to push foods on her after her barely eaten meals? She gets full immediately and doesn't always take her vitamins. I don't want her to distance herself from me by insisting that she eat more. Signed, Mothering Mother in Texas. Dear Mother, I do not recommend that you push foods on your daughter. If you do, it may cause her to rebel. I do, however, think it might be a good idea for you to do some research about eating disorders, because your daughter may have one. And remember, you can reach Dear Abigail Van Buren at one of two ways. Either go to her website, www.dearabby.com, or write her a letter and mail it to the address of P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90069. We're coming up on 53 minutes past the hour, so I think we have time for a few comic strips. Well, first off, in the comic strip Zits, drawn by Jerry Scott and Jim Borgman, first frame, Dad's punching the remote, closing the garage door, and it looks like the tools are all hung on the wall. And then the second frame, Dad comes in and he sits down on the couch with a, looks like a beer in his hand, and he goes, ah. And Jeremy's on the other end of the couch looking at his phone, gotten his socks on his feet. And Jeremy says, well, where have you been? And Dad goes, ah, cleaning the garage. And Jeremy says, well, that was supposed to be my job. And Dad says, yeah, well, it's done. Wow, thanks, Dad, Jeremy says. And then the last frame, Jeremy looks at his dad and says, I still get credit for it, though, right? And that was Zits. And then, in Beetle Bailey, drawn by Greg Bryan and Neil Walker, Beetle's in bed in the barracks, and Sarge comes in and says, let's toss the old baller out. He's holding a football. And Beetle goes, must we? And next frame, there's Sarge throwing the ball. Beetle's running out to catch it. Then Beetle throws the ball, and throws it way over his head out into the bushes. Sergeant Snorkel walks out there and he's cleaning through the bushes. Oh, he yells, I found it! And he turns and yells, Beetle? Well, we see a shadow of Beetle running back into the barracks, so I think the game is over. Anyway, that was Beetle Bailey. Then, in Blondie, drawn by Dean Young and John Marshall, first frame, Dagwood's sitting on the sofa. Blondie comes in and says, sweetheart, I'm running late to get to a catering job. I need you to take this cherry cobbler to our new neighbors across the street and welcome them to our neighborhood. Thank you, honey. You're the best. And she leaves. Dagwood's sitting there, and he's looking at the cherry cobbler on his lap. And in the last frame, Dagwood's at his neighbor's house, and he's at the front porch, and he says, hi, I'm Dagwood Bumstead. I live across the street, and Pizza Supreme and some hot wings will arrive here in 15 minutes. I think I know what happened to the cherry cobbler. And that was the Blondie comic strip. Next, we take a look at Peanuts, featuring good old Charlie Brown. In the first frame, Charlie Brown's walking along and there's a sign, "Need psychiatric help? Last chance, this way." And the next frame, he's at the psychiatric help booth, 5 cents. The doctor is in. There's Lucy with her feet up on the booth. And Charlie says, "Sometimes I think I don't know anything about life. I need help. Tell me a great truth. Tell me something about living that will help me." And Lucy says, "Do you ever wake up at night and want a drink of water?" And Charlie Brown says, "Sure, quite often." And Lucy says to him, "When you're getting a drink of water in the dark, always rinse out the glass before, because there might be a bug in it. 5 cents, please." And in the last frame, Charlie Brown says, "Great truths are even more simple than I thought they were." And that was Peanuts. Well, before we go, we want to wish happy birthday to some celebrities who are celebrating their year trip around the sun this year. Our congratulations go to drummer Pete Best. He was with the Beatles early. He turns 83 today. Actor Dwight Schultz turns 77. Damon Evans turns 75. The actor Stanley Livingston turns 74. Actor Ruben Santiago Hudson turns 68. The actress Denise Crosby turns 67. And we've got Katherine Heigl. She turns 46 today. And Sarah Hyland turns 34 today. Congratulations to these birthday celebrities. I'm Gene, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you have been listening to the second hour of the reading of the Arizona Republic for Sunday, November 24th, 2024. Have a great day. Bye-bye.